Hello and welcome to the Final Bell, the official Geelong Cats podcast. It is great to have you with us. Finals are here. And as we've been all year, we are brought to you by Panther Tyres. Thank you so much to the team at Panther Tyres for their support all season. This stop-start crazy season. I don't know if all of us thought we were actually going to get to finals. There were times where some of us would have no doubt doubted that this season would not make it to this point. But we have finals, and I have my regular crew with me. Scotty Gallen and Matthew Stokes are both joining the podcast from various locations. Stokesy from home, as always, rock solid professional. Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Cameron.
And Scotland, you are joining us again from your recording studio, aka the car.
Well, this consistency, Cameron. I like to have my personal space,
which I can't get at home. I do feel, Scotty, that we must be coming out of some form of lockdown because you are looking sharper than normal. Your hair, the beard's just been manicured a little bit more.
Finals football, finals, you know, I step up like you. Oh, you did a little bit when it mattered. So I'm in that vein. I step it up, Cameron.
Nice. I like that. We are talking finals. We've got Geelong taking on Port Adelaide tomorrow night at the Adelaide Oval. Superstar defender, one of my absolute favourites, Tom Stewart, will be joining us in just a second to have a chat before they jump on the plane and head to Adelaide. We'll get to your questions. I may or may not let these two peanuts ask some questions about the All-Australian team. Or hopefully
I've got a podcast short. I've got a long list, all of these here.
Oh, no. Ted Buse plays his 100th game for the Cats, which is fantastic. Father, son, he now qualifies if he has a son or a daughter to Cats. Just another third generation. Come on, Jed, no pressure. But 100 games for him, so fantastic. Stokes, you've got one just to pump you up as we lead into our chat about Port Adelaide. The last time these two teams played in a final was the 2013 semi-final. Players for the Cats playing then were Selwood, Taylor, Hawkins, Duncan, Guthrie, Blitzarfs. Port had Ebert, Boak, Gray, Wines, Jonas, Hartlett. But the man who was the leading possession getter on the ground that game was Matthew Stokes with 28 disposals. Just
put on a clinic. Take us through that day, Stoker.
As we talk about all the time, Cameron, sometimes stats can be misleading. But I do remember that game. We were very heavily favoured and we were behind at halftime. If I recall correctly, we jumped on the back of Selwood's back. He led us very well early in that third quarter to get back. I think we were probably between 10 to 20 points down, if my memory serves me right. And he led the way for us to come back and have a good win, because we would have a lot of questions would have been asked if we lost that game, but we were able to come back, claw our way back and win the game.
I don't believe you. Joel Selwood would never have led a team to victory and had people climb on his back. He's never done that in his career. No, I do remember that one, Stokesy. I was calling that one, and I must admit feeling a little bit sick, thinking because at this stage Port Adelaide were really, they'd struggled big time, and they were just in their initial stages of their build to ultimately they made the preliminary final 2014. I think, Scotty.
Yeah, they were lucky Hawthorn. They should have won that.
Yeah, but it was this new Port Adelaide team. I was thinking, oh no, this is going to be really bad for the Cats if they drop this one. But the man, Matty Stokes just put on a nice little show, and Selwood, as you mentioned, got the win. And then that Port team, that was the first part of the rise with Kenny as coach and Travis Boak as captain, and they made that prelim, unlucky not to make a grand final. They then, I think quite smartly by Ken, realised that that was their peak, that 14-15 sort of period. And then they were going to remain competitive, but made some brave decisions to trade, get these young players. And now they've launched again. And minor premiers, home final, Adelaide Oval. I'm expecting Stokesy, a very, very different team to the one that's not in personnel, but just in the way they play, to the one that Geelong dismantled pretty comfortably during the season.
100%. I think if you looked at the two teams and how they would have gone about doing the study of each other's and how they play, I think Port would have got a lot more out of that game than we would have. I mean, they played pretty badly that night. A lot of people aren't giving them credit because I'm not too sure why. They're on top of the ladder and have been all year. They're a bloody good team. They've got some really good team players. They seem like they went and play for each other, and they also play for Kenny. So it's going to be a hard assignment up there, Cameron. It's going to be a cracking game, and looking forward to it.
Well, I'm one of those people who's underrated them all year, and unfairly so. You're right. They've just kept on winning. You know, even when there were question marks of, oh, can we trust them? Are they going to keep winning? We're only 7 or 8 games in. Is this just a bit of a false dawn? They've kept winning. The only thing that keeps nagging away at my mind is that Geelong game. They were so comprehensively destroyed that you think, oh, hang on, are they that good? But maybe it was during the middle of the year when it was footy frenzy and short breaks and everything. Maybe they just had an off night. Scotty, what's your take on Port Adelaide?
Yeah, I can cop the off night, and there's a couple of different changes in personnel. But if I'm Geelong, I'm taking a hell of a lot out of that, and I would be not reliving it, but they're going to go in there to a hostile environment knowing last time we were here, we completely destroyed them. And I don't think, you know, a couple of little tickles here and there. Port will be better. We know that. But I'd be taking a lot of confidence out of that. The way Hawkins, apparently Tom Cleary didn't play last week, and they're thinking of not playing him because of the Hawk factor, because of what Hawk did to him last time. So already selection has been a bit, you know, Geelong's influencing what Port are thinking, which I like.
I found them, even when they did win the footy, which wasn't that much in that game, they were so obviously predictable. It was the long kick to Dixon. Geelong handled it beautifully. Had Harry there, but they also had Reece Stanley almost knowing the ball was going to go to Dixon. So he was always flying against the ruckman as well and had zero influence. I'm assuming while Dixon will continue to be the major target, they've got to be less predictable to the Cats.
Well, I think Marshall's into this game. He wasn't. Like, he's an exciting kid with a bit of talent. But, yeah, they might have a few more options. But, I mean, you guys know, if you've had a big win over a team and then you come up against them 3 months later, it still means a fair bit to you.
Oh, it does. Especially in the finals.
Yeah.
Did you have teams, though, Stokesy, that you just felt as an individual but also as a team you just felt good against?
Oh, absolutely.
For some reason we play well?
Yeah, absolutely. You always have those players, you never name them, but you always feel comfortable that you're able to get a kick on them. And also, too, as a team environment, I think you always knew who you could get a hold of. You knew the guys where, you know, if you were playing St Kilda or Fremantle, it would be a, you know, locking game. You're going to have to work really hard for your kicks. And it's going to be a grind of a game. Where you had other games where you played, you know, won't say the names, but you knew it was going to be open. You could probably get away with cheating a little bit and pushing forward a bit. So I don't think Port in this access, in this instance, will be us saying we can take control of it. I think if you have a look at the one aspect of the game that we got we annihilated, and it was Hawkey getting one-on-ones. I think this time Port will say we'll allow anyone else beat us but Hawkins. And we'll put the, and Patrick Dangerfield obviously being up forward does put a bit of another headache. But they will say we'll let Luke Dowhouse kick goals. We'll hope Tommy Atkins plays, he kicks goals. Gary Rowan kicks goals. We won't allow Hawking to kick five and dominate in the air.
Do you make a statement and put Dangerfield in the goal square at the start of the game?
Just 100%. Go, all right. That's no brainer. And I really hope that happens. And I think from the way that we're seeing the way John playing, I think we've shown over the last couple of weeks that our best team is when he is forward.
And it means you can have, and I agree with you, Stokesy, what their plan would be about the Hawkins, don't let him have one-on-ones, because we saw what he did last time. But if Dangerfield's down there, it has to be Cleary or Jonas go to him, just by his sheer size and his marking ability, which takes out that other, you know, if it is, I don't think it will be Cleary on Hawkins, but if it is, and Jonas is there to help, but Jonas has to go and play on Dangerfield, well, then there's one-on-ones. And then it's got to be somebody else coming off who's maybe not their preference to do it. They are so much better. And I also think, deep down inside, Paddy sees himself as a midfielder who's very good as a forward. And it kind of makes him hungrier and a little, I'm just talking a smidge grumpy, that when he then gets unleashed into the midfield for shorter bursts, he's even better in the middle of the ground. And they are a better team when he's forward. And then you can unleash him when you feel the need to, and bang, go to work in there. Oh, I think it's got to be the way. You mentioned Tommy Atkins, Stokesy. You'd have him in if he's good to go?
100%. I think in the finals, you're not going to have the space, especially as a small forward. You're not going to be able to rely on an easy kick or an easy goal. It's going to be a grind. It's going to be a hard-fought game from start to finish, majority of the time. Who epitomizes that more than anyone in our team? Tom Atkins. He is made to play finals. And a lot of people, I've been hearing a lot of people come up to me in the shops saying, what has Tommy Atkins ever done to say that he's a good player? I've never ever said that he's a game changer. But what he is probably one of the most important players because he's the heart and soul of how that group plays. So if we can have someone like him, who's exactly like a Max Rook, but just a bit smaller, who can go in there and do everything else that no one else wants to do, in a final, they are the most important players because they are all about the team.
Brilliant, totally Stokes. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And the argument that he doesn't get enough of the footy or he doesn't kick enough goals, it has me tearing my hair out because people like Tom Atkins. And you mentioned Max Rook, who's the best to have done it for the Cats ever. He makes those special people around him shine even brighter because of the work. The work that Max Rook used to do for all of us, Stokesy, made us all so much better. Tom Atkins does that. It's not about Tom kicking four goals a game or having 30 possessions. He makes the special people do their thing.
Yeah,
it's crucial.
So the people at Woolworths who keep going at me about Tom Atkins, I just want to get
the veggies. All of this will mean nothing, though, Cameron, if Geelong, again, walk into a final half asleep and a quarter time of five goals down, which has become a problem. And if you do it in Adelaide against this team in Port Adelaide, well, forget it. I mean, I don't know how they do it. And Chris Scott has said, we've tried a million different... They cannot start like half asleep people.
Agreed. And it is always going to be hanging there. And the narrative doesn't change until you change it.
Yeah, absolutely. So
Chris Scott is always going to be asked about it. The players are always going to be asked about it. Oh, what about your finals record? What about the way you start finals? What about qualifying finals and starting? It will continue to be asked until you do something about it. And the only way they change it, it's funny, reading an article the other day, just to quickly go off topic, about Richmond, about how they develop talent better than nearly anyone in the competition, how they've, Shai Bolton and Noah Boltram, they're just one of the greatest models of developing talent. And that is right. Now, but 4 years ago, if you'd written an article about that, you would have been laughed out of the room. They changed the narrative by going out and producing. They were Richmondy. They were the team that couldn't turn number one draft picks and number two draft picks into anything of any value. And the jokes of taking Fiora over Pavlich and Tambling over Franklin would gag. That narrative is gone because Richmond on the field changed that narrative. The only way you change it, Stokesy, am I right? In Geelong have just the players. It is their responsibility. This first quarter has to be massive.
Yeah.
They have to nail every single fundamental of the game early on in this game to flip it completely around.
And there's a massive ramification for both clubs if you come out and lose this game. I mean, Port, obviously the best team all year by a fair bit, I would have thought. If they lose at a home game, there's going to be a lot of questions asked. We lose, it's going to be the same narrative we've listened to over probably the last 5 or 6 years about the finals records. But the way that I look at it from the players is that, like you're saying, they're the only ones who can actually change it and create your own legacy. I mean, I'm kind of sick of talking about our premierships, to be honest. It's great that we were able to win and be successful, but this group can be able to create their own legacy and their own photos on the wall and another cup in our club. And it's up to them. It's not up to Chris Scott. It's part of it. He's part of the, that team. But these players have a chance right now to do something that we'll be able to talk about forever. And it doesn't just happen over, three quarters or a half. It's four quarters of a slog week in, week out of the final series. So, if they're able to get this together, the results and what's on the other side of this over the side of the bridge is something that can glorify you forever. I just hope they understand the ramifications on both sides, whether you're winning or whether you're losing.
And I feel really good about this group. I have for, the, I don't know, maybe the midpoint of the year that in years gone by, Stakesy, it has felt that unless Dangerfield and Selwood and maybe Hawkins do something incredible in the game, oh, I don't know if we're good enough to get over this team, whichever team it might be in finals. This year, I feel if they commit to everything that you're talking about, but are also understand that it's got to be an even spread of players contributing there, I feel really good about this team. I think they go over to Adelaide and they beat Port. Guthrie made a goal of Parfitt through the middle of the ground, complimenting Duncan, Selwood, Dangerfield. Hawks up forward, Gary Rowan produces, and Dahlhaus is there, and Tom Atkins plays, and that back line is solid as a rock. I'm no longer hoping and pleading that one or two players have the games of their lives.
Yeah.
All I'm hoping is that every player produces to what their level of capability is.
Yeah.
And they've done it before and they can do that again. That makes me feel good.
And I sit here really confident as well, Cameron, that we've got the group that that need to, you know, buy into 90 minutes of footy or whatever, how many minutes it is. And we have that even spread. And the one thing I plead for people out there, I mean, the last week has been hilarious going to, you know, supermarket and out and about and enjoying and doing stuff, is that everyone keeps bringing up, you know, well, this, you know, it starts now. Well, it does, but we've got ourselves in a position that we're in, that we're here, we're in finals, we've got a second chance. But instead of always moping about the negative, let's just get behind our boys, back them in and say, you know, until whatever happens at the end of the year happens. But right now, let's just back them in and say, let's go, Cats, and jump on the bandwagon. So the boys sort of pointing out that, I know the narrative is there that we've, you know, fallen apart in finals, but we can't keep hanging our hats on that. We need to back our boys in and hopefully we can go to Adelaide and get a win.
Scotty, yeah, I'm on board. Hey?
Good. You're always ear to the ground, though. What's happening with the team? We're going to ask Tommy Stewart up in just a second if he's got any little whispers for us.
I think...
and Tommy Atkins?
Yeah, Reece and Atkins in. Stokes' man, Jackie Boy Steven. I'd be surprised if he keeps his spot. And I think Big Sav goes out, obviously. So I think two changes for the Cats. And that makes sense.
Oh, Zach Tui is the one Zach just the other day. He missed...
Did he play the last game?
He played in the Sydney game.
Yeah, he's just got his knee that they're managing. He's fine. You know what he's like. He'll definitely be in. So I think two changes.
He is reasonably tough, our boy Reggie. We won't say that to his face. When he's
he did fake that rib thing a few weeks ago, but other than that, he's legit. No, I'm with you. I'm glass full too with you, blokes. Go Cats.
Are you glass half full about your mob?
Oh, it's like a bye. It's like it's just, they don't even really have to turn up. It's not, it's going to be that easy. Poor old St Kilda, all these dreams they had, they've run into Air Norton and his crew, and nah, it's a bye.
Air Norton and his stack at. Tell us, can you remind me, Scotty, because you're way better prepared than I am. If whoever loses out of Geelong and Port Adelaide, they play the winner of West Coast Hollywood?
I believe the crossover.
West Coast, the winner. So that means the loser of Richmond and Brisbane play your mob.
Yeah. The Dogs, yeah. The Dogs will play Brisbane or Richmond and get through that way. That's correct.
I can't believe you just dismissing the Saints like that, Scotland.
Oh, look, they've been a great story and I wish them all the best, but it's a different, as you two know, it's a different level and my Dogs know how to go there.
Karma is a...
No, it's just confidence, Matthew. You just got to, rather than sit on the fence, you just express.
No, I like it. I like it, Scotty.
Well, what are you two? Who do you think will win, Cameron?
I think the Dogs will win. But I'm not dismissing the Saints like you.
Matthew, you're on the Dogs.
I'm not sold on the Dogs either. Look, I'm not the biggest footy expert. I don't watch a hell of a lot. I watch more NRL than AFL. But from what I've seen, I'm going to back St Kilda.
Oh, come on. Go to the break. We've got to end this conversation.
All right, let's go to the break. Tommy Stewart is standing by. He's about to join us from his hotel room in Queensland. So let's get to that. We'll be back in a second.
Hi, it's Joel Selwood from the Cats. While we all support different footy teams, one thing we can all get behind is making good environmental choices. Momentum Energy is owned by Australia's largest generator of renewable energy. So supporting them means you're supporting Aussie renewables. So make the right call by joining today at momentumenergy.com.au.
Welcome back to the final bell. It is great to have you with us. We are brought to you by Panther Tires, but we're also supported by Deakin University. Digital is in Deakin University's DNA. With 40 years of experience in distance and online learning, discover why they're the number one Australian public university for overall educational experience. Premium, proven, loved. Study online at Deakin. It is my great pleasure. As I mentioned earlier, we are joined by one of my absolute favourites, two-time All-Australian, and it's great to see him back running around. A little injury earlier on in the season, but has not missed a beat since then. Tommy Stewart joins the podcast. Hello, Tom.
Hello, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you with us. Where do we find you at the moment within the hub?
Just in my room at the moment, mate. Lovely mansion at Southport, so just gearing up to head off to Adelaide.
Heading off to Adelaide today. We are recording this Wednesday morning. Heading off later today, is that right?
Yeah, so head off in about 45 minutes, jump on the bus and head to the airport and away we go. So very exciting.
All right, we won't hold you up long then. You've got to make sure you lock in and for that travel. What's the build-up been like though? Bye week, everything just presses pause for a little bit. What's the feel been like amongst the group?
To be honest, it's been rather natural. We've had a couple of 9-day breaks during the last sort of month or so. So it's been business as usual. You sort of get a couple of days off post-Sydney and then we come in and had a good session on Saturday night and get ourselves up for a big week this week. So albeit a strange build-up, obviously the pre-finals bye, but it's been a normal sort of week for us.
So Stewie, hub life overall, I mean, you've been doing it for a fair while now. Is it? Do you get into autopilot a bit? Is that how you can describe it?
Yeah, absolutely. It sort of becomes a bit of Groundhog Day every other day. Get up, get a coffee, have some brekkie and think, what am I going to do for the rest of the day? But no, the club has been really good facilitating some activities for us. And having the kids and the families around has kept it refreshing and keeps you on your toes as well.
Now, let's be honest, Tommy. You don't really love to be around people that. So the hub life for you would be... It would be very interesting. How have you dealt with having to be around your teammates every day?
Good question, Stokes. No, it's been good. Obviously, some days you sort of just want to be by yourself and sort of just relax a bit. But to spend some time with the young boys, especially like the new draftees and those boys you don't tend to spend a lot of time with, it's actually been really good fun. You see a different side of people. You see who takes it super seriously, like the skipper and the like, and then who genuinely just relaxes as soon as they get off the track. So it's been good to have a good mix, but yeah, you've nailed it. A couple of days there, I've really enjoyed just being by myself and being with my wife. So
it is my idea, Stewie, of hell on earth. If I was surrounded by Stokes and Kelly and all them all the time, I would have strangled them. So you're doing very, very well. Who do you see? You know, you come out of your room and look down the length of the corridor and you just spot someone. You think, I'm going to have to share the lift with that person. I quickly duck back into the room for another minute or two. Who do you avoid in the hub at all costs?
I've been quite lucky. Me and Em got put on the family floor. So we get all the kids and we get the Harry Taylors and the Dangerfields and Hawks and the people you actually enjoy have a good laugh with. So I haven't had to deal with too many awkward lift conversations. But who would I avoid if I saw him? Probably Lukey Dale. He's just always way too up and about for me. I think he powers down like a robot when he goes to bed and he just comes out full of energy and I'm just not about that first thing in the morning.
What about this week, Stewie? I mean, you guys were flying 6 weeks ago and then it seemed like the last couple of games were a bit, they were okay, but did you get a sense that you were just sort of gathering steam again?
I don't think we were too bad. I think Richmond were very good a few weeks ago. And then obviously we had a poor showing in the first sort of two quarters against Sydney. But we sort of got a few things right late and won that game. But we're just very eager to get back into finals. And obviously this is, as Lingy and Stokesy and I think everyone in the footy world knows, this is when the real season starts. So we're extremely excited and obviously very grateful that we get another opportunity to play finals footy as every club wants to every year. So we're gearing ourselves up. We've had a good week and we're raring to go.
Hey, Stewie, you're a very tough player. You're a very tough man, very stern man. But it looked like it was nothing. And I know you hit this spot in the right place at the right time. Doesn't matter how quick you're going. I know what kind of bloke you are like. You would have hated the fact that you were hurt so much or something that was so small. But have you dealt with much flack from your old mates at South Barn and the tough boy regarding the little bit of a hip and shoulder that cost you probably your third All-Australian because you've been in amazing form this year again?
I don't have to look too far to cop flack from the old South boys. Link Scarlo straight after the game was like, what's going on there, mate? everyone's seen the vision. And I think me, as shocked as anybody, when I bumped Tommy McDonald, I went back for the second one. I was like, hang on, what the hell is going on here? And then sort of gave the collarbone a bit of a touch and there was a bit of a bone sticking out of my neck. So, very, very strange, very weird. But as you said, right spot, right amount of force. It just sort of popped. And I was very lucky. I only missed three games with that and sort of haven't looked back since.
Just argue with him and say anyone else would have missed 10 weeks with a collarbone injury. You're still pretty tough.
To be honest, like Lynn John getting back in 14 days is unbelievable. I could have got back in 20 odd and I still wouldn't have been right. So 26 days to get back. I was seriously amazing that he got back in 14 to play in a VFL granny.
Tough Bulldogs players, Scotty, isn't that right?
Correct.
They bred him tough at the Doggies. Stu, just looking forward to tomorrow night's game, the Power game. When you played them halfway through the year, you completely dismantled them. Brilliantly played. They took 3 marks inside forward 50. I think Hawk took that himself, plus plenty more. What are you expecting them to throw at you differently to last time? We're assuming they're not just going to try the same way that they did last time. What are you expecting out of left field a bit from Kenny and his team?
Well, I suppose we have the extra knowledge of Kenny sort of coaching at the club back in the day, but I just think they'll double down on what they know they're good at. They're an extremely good clearance team. They're a great forward half team. So they'll just come into the game, I think, saying put extra pressure on getting the ball in their half and trying to keep it there. They've got a lot of weapons around the ball and obviously big Charlie Dixon up forward. So they'll try and give him as many looks as they can. And then their small fleet will go to work on the ground. Zach Butters and Connor Rosie and Robbie Gray are all class players. So we've got to match it in there with them and obviously get the ball up to the big fella at the other end and give him as many opportunities as we can in front of goals.
And I guess that's what Port will do and what they'll bring. But don't give away all your secrets here, Tommy. But what is, as from a player's point of view, what's your key focus points on, obviously, a quick start and a good start. But what are the other parts of the game that you're looking for you guys to implement really early in the game?
Yeah, it's. I don't think there's too many secrets in finals footy. So actually, I think we've just got to nail the basics early, whether that be a clean ground ball or giving it to our tight support or finding a release mark. These sort of things are things that we've based our game off all year. So we've just got to nail that early and really try and take the emotion out of the game and get that crowd to be a bit quieter than it would be if they were up and about. So I don't think much changes for us in that respect. And we've just got to be up for it for the first half and then go from there, reassess at half time and go from there.
Stewie, what about the Gazza impact? I mean, and I'm not saying the players say, well, let's do it for Gaz, but is there a bit of a sort of fairy tale or a 1% that you understand this is one of the greatest players last month of footy and he's come back to basically do one thing and win a flag?
Oh, I mean, there's obviously that romantic side to it, Scotty, yeah. And the fairy tale is obviously he's arguably the greatest player to ever play the game and he's come back to Geelong in searching of that extra premiership. But I think in terms of doing it for Gaz, I don't think that's quite right. I think it's we should be doing it for the entire football club as a whole and the way that everyone supported us throughout this time. Obviously it's pretty special to have Gaz back and what he brings is like no other, but I don't think we have to look too far than each other person next to us to really drive ourselves to win that flag.
Now, Stewie, by the time our magic man, Rowan, who's our producer here, chops all this up and does everything, this won't go to air until late on Wednesday when the teams have been announced. Can you give us a little feel amongst the group? Is the big fella, Ray Stanley, good to come back in? Is Tommy Atkins feeling good? What's the word?
Oh, well, I'll straight about this one, Lingy, but they both trained very strongly throughout the week and they've put their hand up for selection.
So. It's Neil Baum. We've got Neil Baum.
to be fair, we're very lucky. Barring, obviously, Cocky, who's headed back to Victoria, we've got an extremely healthy list. I think we've only got two or three blokes that are in the rehab group, which at this time of the year is an unbelievable sort of number, considering what we've had in previous seasons. So to have a healthy list, and it's not my job to pick the team, but to see that as a leader of the club, it's been amazing the way the boys have sort of handled themselves through these condensed fixtures and got themselves right every week. So it's really good. And I dare say that Reece and Tommy will feature in some capacity on Thursday night.
Stokesy, I like it. Stewie, just it's a final now. You don't give anything away. Do not give a single little bit away. Lock in competitive. I love that.
It's very old school. He's a very old school kind of a man, Tommy Stewie. I like it. I like it.
Stewie, we won't hold you up any longer. Unless, Scotty, have you got one more for Tommy?
I just like to go. Stewie, the decor. Are you going to take one of those paintings home with you from your room?
Oh, yeah. The wife loves the artwork. It's
they're all the same, aren't they?
Yeah, it is. They're exactly the same. It's very southeast Queensland. I'll give you that.
Well, we love the fact that you joined us on the podcast. Love what you do. Good luck tomorrow night over there in Adelaide. Safe flight over, but let's hope the Cats can get the win and get the week off and head through to a preliminary final. Thanks for your time, Stewie.
Thanks, gents.
Great to chat with Tommy Stewart there, the star Cats defender. Got a big job against the Port Adelaide forward line, but as we saw earlier on in the year, did a magnificent job, that group, stopping a very powerful Port forward group. We're going to take a break now. We're going to get to your questions, and I'm sure Stokesy and Scotty will have something else to vent about after we have a break.
All Australia.
No more All Australian talking to.
Nah, I've got some questions I need answered.
Okay, Matthew, we'll get to them. Let's take a break.
Hi, it's Joel Selwood from the Cats. While we all support different footy teams, one thing we can all get behind is making good environmental choices. Momentum Energy is owned by Australia's largest generator of renewable energy, so supporting them means you're supporting Aussie renewables. So make the right call by joining today at momentumenergy.com.au.
Welcome back. It is great to have you with us. You're listening to The Final Bell, the official Geelong Cats podcast. Great chatting with Tommy Stewart. Time for your questions, though. But before we do get to your questions, we've just got a new little final sponsor here, Stokesy, coming on board. But they've always been incredible supporters of the Geelong Footy Club, and fair to say they're Geelong Footy Club players over the years. Town and Country Pizza are on board. Town and Country Pizza are continuing our extra COVID-specific policies and procedures to ensure safety of employees and, importantly, our customers, both in-store and on delivery, including no contact delivery. With the introduction of a Tuesday night deal at all locations, customers can order $15 large pizzas, any variety, to make it easier for all to bring a little joy into their home. There is simple and easy to use online ordering, always available at townandcountrypizza.com.au with multiple payment options. So big thanks to Frank and Joe and all the Rossi family for jumping on board with Town and Country. Stokesy, you would have been a regular there, wouldn't you?
Oh, they've got me through COVID. They're town special. me and the boys are always in there. So, yeah, Joe and Frank and the team, thanks very much. I mean, they're just a great family-owned business and Geelong local. So thanks for the support, boys. But, geez, their food's good. And they've seen a lot of me over the last 6 months. Every time we can't be bothered cooking, it's the first place we go.
What's your go-to pizza, Stoker?
The town special.
Town special. Cameron, what do you go with?
No, I love a Hawaiian with a bit of extra cheese on top, but the country special is better than town special.
Oh, is it a country special, is it?
No, there is a town special and a country special, I think. But I'm voting for the country special.
Oh, sorry, I think it is a country special. Thanks, Cameron.
No, but there's a town special though as well.
You confuse me now.
You have a lot of knowledge.
Any of our listeners, please give us a bit of feedback. What's the favourite pizza is at Town and Country Pizza? And just double check. I'm sure there's a town special and a country special.
The ones without
for which one you like best?
No prawns.
No prawns.
No, I don't.
Did you say no prawns? No, yeah, no, I love prawns. All right, let's get to your questions. Let's get this show back on track, you two.
Yes.
Cam asked this, not me. Cam asked the question, will it be the Cats' top six players or bottom six players that determine how far we go in finals? Great debate, bottom. Stokesy. Is it your megastars or is it those players who play incredibly important roles within the team? I've always been a believer, and it's a little bit on what we discussed before with Tommy Atkins. If your bottom six are absolutely locked in, understand their roles, have real clarity in their roles, and just perform it to perfection every single week throughout finals, and you can just rely on those people, and in big moments, they do what is needed to be done, that determines really high-quality finals against other excellent teams. Because when they're doing that, your best six, your top six, can do what they do and do it as well and do things that I'm sure most of us can only ever dream of doing. But without the bottom six doing all that foundation work, the top six don't get to shine as bright. Do you agree?
100%. I think, you know, if our bottom six can, and please don't look at the bottom of Supercoach points and see how many points they've scored for the game. Please just use your eyeballs to see the impact they can have on a game, because those Supercoach points in finals mean jack shit. What you need is to look at the tackles, look at the pressure acts, doing what they see when it comes to everything that the team needs the player to do, and judge them on that. And that's where you'll see who wins. It's normally who can have more of an impact or have an output from the bottom six. It's normally the guys that will win.
Yeah, the top six just have to play to their level, which isn't match winning. It's just to their level. And if the bottom six, as you said, do their role, that'll assist the top six. You don't need a hero. That's the problem. You don't need a hero.
No, and that's sometimes where the danger is, that players think, oh, there's no belief in that bottom six. And I'm talking about real, genuine, rock-solid belief. You feel like, as one of the good players, not that I ever was known, but one of the stars has to play.
Well, I think Paddy Dangerfield has felt that for the last couple of years at times in these finals. Yep. And, you know, he's felt and tried to do it by himself and it hasn't worked.
You know what one of the great examples are? Because the counter-argument to this by some people might be, oh, but what about Dusty Martin for Richmond in the previous couple of final series or three finals? He has been superb, unbelievable. But the reason why Richmond have won premierships and Dusty's won Norm Smith is because of all that work the unheralded Richmond players have done. And then Dusty shines, just plays to his level, stands up in big moments. He's built for finals. Richmond win, he wins a Norm Smith. But he doesn't win a Norm Smith without Kane Lambert some of the time, or Bashir Hooley, or Dylan Grimes and Nick Foston and David Asprey, these sorts of players.
Yeah.
Joe asks, Buddha Hocking, the great Gary Hocking, was one of my favourite all-time Cats. Now that the Pies have let him go, could we see him back at Geelong? Scotty, what have you heard the great Buddha's up to these days?
Yeah, no, not a lot. I mean, he was stood down initially with COVID, and then it came out this week that, he actually won't be coming back at all. So, Buddha, he's coached in a lot of places. His experience is top level. He's well liked the places he's been. So I don't know, if there's a shuffle, he'd be in the mix for sure.
Collingwood rated him very highly.
Yeah, very high.
He did in part of that run to the grand final.
Very high. So this is the sad thing about COVID. There's some very quality coaches who, for no fault of their own, really, have just, you know, whether their contract's up or whatever, they've fallen away. And he's one of them.
And I think there'll be other examples, Stokes, of some of our great mates, great teammates, who are brilliant football brains and wonderful relationship people. And in time, or probably already are, really good development and assistant coaches, and in time could turn into unbelievable coaches who have been spat out for the moment. But with every club spitting them out, there's no other positions for them to go to. And you worry that those great football people might be lost to the game, and you only hope they can hold on for a little bit, weather this storm, and then get back into a football club and have a great influence on young players.
Yeah, it's a sad environment all up. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people lost in the industry, But there are a lot of people, and I'm not saying this about Gary, but there are a lot of people who have been in this industry for a long, long time. So maybe it is it's been great to be able to refresh the groups and be able to get the younger people who, and I'm not saying the older people are no good. What I'm trying to say is that the game changes every 3 weeks. You know, so footy people who have been in the game for a long, long time sometimes get sort of stuck in their ways of how they see the game or how they think of the game. And I think with the young players coming through and the way they are and their attitudes towards football and life, you need that good mix of knowledge of how the game is played, but also how to be able to talk to younger players. So it's been a horrible time. I've seen some really good people lost over that period of time, and Geelong will be no different. We're still trying to figure out what our makeup is and how that footy department looks and the coaching structure. But it is going to be a really hard game to get into over the next few years. But like you said, we've lost some good people already, and where do they go to? Because there's no other jobs out there in the footy department, in the footy world. But you might see some great coaches in the VFL level or the GFL or the GDFL. So hopefully they don't get lost too much.
One of your former very close friends has taken over a very historic role this week. Domsey.
Domsey, the new Mickey Turner's role at the Falcons. And
big shoes.
Corrigan has taken over as coach of the Falcons. Come on, yeah, great one role for Domsey.
Domsey's had one job this week with me and Otto, is to find us a place to have a palmy and watch the footy on tomorrow night. And he hasn't been able to come through. So, Domsey, you're useless.
Your organisation is better than that.
He got knocked by Billy. That's not good.
Billy couldn't get him in. Wow.
I wonder if, just on a broader discussion about coaches, we see more. You know, the pathway over the last 10 years, 12 years, or more, 15 years, has been ex-player comes in as an assistant coach or development coach, assistant coach, and then ends up as a senior coach. Strict pathway. It almost hasn't been since Alistair Clarkson, who specifically had coached a standalone club team in the Sandfall, who's come through that pathway. Is there anyone else, Scotty? Tell me if I... Chris Fagan's not so much a coaching. He's been a football department person for a long time. But maybe we see now, with these less positions, a Joel Corey, who Stokes and I both believe will just be an amazing coach, goes and coaches a standalone, let's say a GFL club initially, Geelong Footy League.
Yep.
And then coaches a VFL team, if that's what the competition looks like in the future. And actually learns a greater role of recruiting and managing staff as well as players and everything. And then that's a new pathway to becoming a senior coach in the NFL, back to like Alistair Clarkson did.
No, I agree. Could easily go that way. The old jobs for the favourite sons, though, those days are gone. It's all changing. Yes.
Richo asks this one. Can the boys share any good finals pump-up speeches with us? I was never big on the pump-up ones, was I, Matthew? Mine was more a
bat it out somehow. Everyone would be a ducking.
hit the fundamentals.
All you said was, if my man gets away, you better pick him up.
Stokesy?
If Brent Harvey gets away from you, it's your responsibility to pick him up. That's what I got told.
Did Bomber go rah-rah at all or not? Not really?
No. Bomber trusted us to do our work. Bomber was the believer in the majority of the coaching has been done in the years, months, weeks, and most importantly, the days leading up to the game. He'd hammer home the final points. He'd sharpen attention. He'd let Stokesy and Gaz and Stevie play footy golf around the change rooms because that was their build-up. He'd let me sit and just talk rubbish with the docs and physios. He'd let Harles and Harry and Scarlo bounce off walls and be fired up 3 hours before the game. He trusted that the work had been done and then he'd bring it all together at the end. Not a fire up. Any classic? I can't think of any.
Nah, Bomber was a way of just giving you a look because you had a relationship with him and he didn't have to say anything for you to want to play for him because you already had that. You knew as soon as you got into that room, he'd look at you, he'd give you a bit of a look, and then you knew that was your responsibility. I mean, there was no huffing and puffing with Bomber. The only good spray that I remember from Bomber was a private plane when we got over to Perth, and we were down by Freo by about 30 points, and he just went absolute apes. Because he goes, that's the last time the club's ever, if you want another private jet, you boys better win. I think we ended up winning by 10 goals because we got the private jet back over to Perth, but I didn't think that happened again. But I think Bomber said more with his looks than he did with his words. And even though he was an intimidating man when he got angry, the texter used to get flown around a fair bit, but it was more his looks. He'd give you some bloody good looks.
Yeah. Early days, we played a pre-season game when we were really young, and it was quite slippery. It might have even been in Darwin.
Nah, Cairns?
Really. The Cairns, was it? Slippery, and threw Dave Jono's boots at him?
Boots at him, yes.
Yeah. He just thought Dave Jono was wearing the wrong boots. Yeah, we all went looking for our screw-ins straight after that.
Love it.
Last question here. Steve asks, what do you think Gaz will do post-footy? Stokesy, I believe he's got his... what's it called? It's like
his media website, platform. His player, yeah, his website. Player sort of voice website.
He's really keen to do that, isn't he?
Yeah.
Exclusive insight.
Yeah, he's got obviously got that. But I reckon, knowing Gazza, he's got a few other things going on at the moment ready. I think he might sit back and enjoy life a little bit. I mean, there's one person that deserved it. It's probably Gary. And what I did after 40, and I've never had anything even close to what Gary ever was, but I went straight into work pretty much 3 weeks after I finished 40. And one of the biggest regrets was I didn't just sit back and enjoy life for a while. And I've spoken to Gary a few times over the last year or so since he come back. And I think it's probably one of the biggest things he's really looking forward to is sitting back and having no, obviously with the young fella now, spend some family time with Geordie and enjoy life, because once you go back into the workforce, there's no finishing at lunchtime and going to play golf, Scotty. Realise the reality of football is that it's a bloody good job. And once you go back to a 9-to-5, it's bloody difficult and hard. Unless you're
Herald Sun writer by the name of Scott Gallen, and then you still play golf every day.
Cameron, yeah. Unless you own 16 hotels and float around radio once a week, you've got the best life of any man on this planet.
I own zero hotels, Scotland. I'm no longer in the hospital.
The Cayman Island accounts are full anyway. That's the main thing.
I agree with you though, Stacey. I think that's what Gaz will do.
Gaz won't be near footy. That's the one thing. He won't be anywhere near footy.
No. Exclusive Insight, as you said, Scotty, is the website and the platform. And I think he does love, he's a student of a lot of American sport, loves LeBron and those crew. And they, obviously, LeBron and Kevin Durant and players like that in the NBA they've got a real platform to give insight to players' perspective on things, but also a platform for social messages as well and community messages, and have been really strong in that. So I think that's where Gaz will go as well. But you're right. I reckon that's important, that not rushing. If you've had a long enough career and you've got that little bit of a buffer that you can spend at least 3 months, I reckon, just taking a breath from the intensity of...
All I say, Gary, is that 3 months, maybe just do a little bit of walking. Because my first 3 months out, I went to the AFL and I ate nothing but donuts and cakes every day. And by the time I got to, I can't remember whose wedding it was. It might have been Mitch Duncan's wedding. My suits didn't go nowhere near being able to climb up. So my only advice for you is, Gary, is enjoy the retirement when it's happening. We're talking about it's happening already. But just keep an eye on that weight, because... I ballooned straight away.
You aren't the only one, Matthew. You're not the only one. There's ups and downs along that journey of retirement.
Yeah, we've got a few teammates, ex-teammates, Cameron, who have let themselves go. We won't go into that right now.
Now, Cameron, I got sent some questions too this week.
Oh, did you? Please fire away, Scotty. We've got about 24 seconds.
This is from Matthew from Highton or Newtown. Wherever he is. Did you attend the All-Australian meetings and did you watch any of the games during the year?
All right. Who have you got a problem with, both Matthew and Scotland?
Well, there's a GWS halfback flanker who was nowhere near as good as he was 12 months ago, and politically you had to get a giant in. Nick Haynes wasn't the best stuff. Yes, come on.
Who would you have ahead of him?
Well, Nick Loston, a fairly solid year in the best, one of the best teams in the comp.
Yeah, solid year, and Haynes a solid year.
Solid
everyone
year.
Had everyone had solid years.
Max Gawn Max Gawn and Grundy both went down a level after being dominant the last couple of years. I didn't think you needed another ruckman.
Grundy went down probably two levels. Max was still very good. What are you, a one ruckman philosophy?
Absolutely. There's no. Well, if you're starting to say this philosophy about positions, you're in a bit of trouble, Cameron.
Why is that, Scotland?
Oh, I think the football community weren't happy with the term wingman and half forwards and specialist forwards being snubbed. Stokesy, did you agree?
No, well, I'm glad that my boy from West Coast
he was good.
Got in there. So I'm glad.
Ryan.
But Dusty and Paddy being in there, that's fine because they do go forward and they are probably the most dangerous forwards in the competition. But there's a 6'5" bloke who I don't see kicking too many goals on a half-forward flank that I didn't particularly like to see there. Cameron.
Scotty's man, the bomb.
Oh, I can't. He's first pick.
You wouldn't have him in this team.
I'm not saying he wouldn't be in the team. I'm just focusing on my forward group. I'm really focusing on that group. And he wouldn't be in my top 300 in the competition to play forward.
There you go, Cameron.
What?
This is Matthew from Heighton.
What about your small forwards, Stokesy? Actually, put together a whole year. That's enough years.
No, hey. Don't get your back up, Mr. Ling, all right? Just because you've got a lot of hate coming towards you, don't bring it towards me. Oh, all I'm saying
so
is...
So much hate.
If you take out Bont, right, take out his name, and you put a half forward on Australian, and what, he kicked 8 goals for a year, and you saw an All-Australian player with 8 goals for his name playing half forward, what would you say?
He's our resting midfielder. The other two aren't mids, they're forwards.
You've got Patrick Dangerfield and Dusty resting. How many resting midfielders do you need?
Oh, he's got you.
That's the only issue I've got, Cameron.
There's so much hate in this world. And you've both gone to the place where everybody else goes, picking it apart rather than celebrating those players that are in the team.
That's
after a wonderful season.
Wrong. I celebrate 21 positions. I think that's a very good team, very nice team. It would have been a very hard team to pick this year, but just don't.
It was.
Put Bond on the bench. Come on, Bond.
You did a good job, Cameron.
Yeah, take your Mercedes forward drive and go sit on the bench, please.
Were you happy with the Rising Star winner?
I don't even know who won it.
Caleb Sarong from Fremantle.
Well, I mean, Raoul's going to get more Brownlow votes than any of them, but yeah, I think you couldn't give it to Raoul.
He played 5 games. One he got injured in, and one he was
three of them were off the charts. Sarong probably played
on the season.
I know that. I'm just saying he will in the Brownlow medal. He'll have more votes.
Yes, that could be true, but 3 games doesn't make a season.
No, I know that, but it makes a fairly big mark on the season, more than a few of those Rising Stars had.
We might have, well, I'll see, up our sleeve a little bit. He still qualifies for next
year.
Oh, no.
Poor kids playing next year. There's no chance. No chance.
They won't. There'll be a group of kids who won't have played any under-18 footy coming into their first season of AFL, and Matt Rowell's still eligible for the Rising Star. Good luck with that. Anything else you'd like to pick apart before we go and start celebrating finals, footy?
No, I don't want to end on a negative, Cameron. I just thought, I'm just relaying what the letters I was receiving in my inbox from Matthew
from Heighton.
Full of crap, Mr. Gallagher. Go enjoy golf. All right.
We better go. Scotty's going to go play golf. Stokesy's finally going to go and look after the kids. Can't stay locked in that room all the time. You know that restrictions are gone. Mate, lockdown's over.
I'll just have the computer rolling.
Thank you, Stokesy. Thank you, Scotty. Thank you to all of our listeners for their questions they sent in. Please keep them coming in. Thanks to Tommy Stewart, as he no doubt jumping on the bus right now to head to the airport to fly to Adelaide. The Cats take on Port Adelaide tomorrow night, 7:40. Is
that correct? Oh, early-ish.
I'm sure all of our listeners will know this anyway, so I probably don't need to. 7:40 our time, Victorian time. The Cats take on Port Adelaide, okay. First versus fourth at the Adelaide Oval. Winner moves to a prelim. Loser will play the winner of West Coast and Collingwood. Enjoy your weekend of finals football. We'll be back again next week.